Institute.
Going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, what's going on? How are you doing? I hope you're well. I hope life is lauding you with love and acceptance and tolerance at all times at the moment. I hope you're doing well. Do you get annoyed by the way that I speak, Emma, actually, ever?
What do you mean?
I was in a meeting last week and actually wasn't going to tell... Sorry, firstly, welcome back to the Weekly Roast. If you're new to the show, it's great to have you with us. Each week, we uncover and explore an aspect of Irish culture and life, dismantle it, roast it. The contributions are all from you. The show would not go on if it was not... Excuse me, if it was not... Excuse me, Jesus. I'm trying this intermittent fasting thing and then I just wolfed a packet of O'Carroll's chicken, which is delicious, by the way.
You just ate a packet of chicken? Is that what you were eating?
Oh, Carol's do this flavoured chicken. It's the nicest thing on planet Earth. Genuinely. And I've never worked with them.
Nothing with...
I'd be open to work. Go on.
Just a packet of chicken.
Just a packet of chicken out of the pack. Have you ever been in bed at like 11 o'clock and just before you descend into a lovely, sweet existential crisis, you think, do you know what? I should go down to the fridge and stand by the fridge, the room lit only by the fluorescence of the refrigerator, and eat a packet of ham in your undershorts.
I've often just stood there eating several slices of ham back to back, but never at 11 p.m. I'll try it.
That is single life personified. Go into any single man's fridge and you'll just open up. There'll be 53 different types of sauce. What is it with men and sauces? Oh yeah, I've got 16 different shades of barbecue sauce. Haven't got a barbecue though. Do you know what I mean?
I was on the phone to one of the girls a few weeks ago. We were going out for a few drinks. I said, have you eaten now? And he's got something into it. She says, I just stood there and ate a packet of ham.
Love it. Love it. I absolutely love it. So anyway, I wasn't going to say this, but I had a meeting last week, okay, about something really important. And I'm not doing the tease. I'm not doing the influencer bullshit, whatever. I'm not an influencer, but like, I'm not doing... You can have influence. And nevertheless, I was in the meeting and it looks like there's a big thing that might be happening.
Right.
Okay, there's a very big opportunity potentially coming my way.
Brilliant, Mark.
Four people in the meeting, blah, blah, blah.
Did you fart again?
I did. Fortunately, the flatulence was kept at bay. However, at the end of the meeting, one of the members of the people were like, just one thing though, if we do go ahead with this. And I was like, what? And he goes, we're going to have to dumb you down. I go, what do you mean dumb me down? And he goes, you can't speak like the way you speak in the podcast. And I go...
Content-wise?
Like, what do you mean? Like, is it the accent?
Is it the...
You know,
right, yeah.
And he goes, well, I've made a list. And I go, what do you mean? And he whips out his phone and he's just like, things like persona non grata, you can't say. At one point he was like, in one of the episodes of your podcast, you say, there's a man with a Gaelic disposition. I was like, what's wrong with that? He was like, just say Irish. Do you know what I mean? So apparently my flowery use of the old brogue is getting me into trouble.
No.
Not for the first time. Not for the last time. Nevertheless, welcome also to our wonderful producer, Emma Nolan. Now, we're going to do our very best for the duration of this podcast to avoid the jaded, cliched sexualizations of constables' daughters and instead mine our producer friend for information rather than solicitation. That was a bit of a mouthful. Much like your dad's baton recently. Brilliant. For those of you that don't know, Emma's father is a copper. So he's actually the chief of police. He's not. He's
retired 10 years.
Okay, well, ever since, yeah. Hand in your badge, Nolan, and gun. To cut a long story short, it's the Trouble with the Law podcast. And now I've split this up into three sections, okay? First of all, we've got the Age of Innocence. Stories from a gentler time in Irish history. And then halfway through, we hand over our badges, proverbially speaking, to the lawmakers themselves. And we have Garda Corner, where we get different Gardas from all corners of the country to submit some of their stories about Ireland's most colourful, crazy and chaotic criminals. If that alliteration wasn't enough to alter your appetite for the show, we then have, of course, the Dirty Offenders. And that is when our queen of the podcast, Mrs. Jollies, tells us a notorious sex story, naturally. And we also have a couple of other devious, derangement sexual acts. You're very welcome to the Weekly Roast. If you enjoy the show, do us a favour, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're here every week. It's Ireland's Confession Box. Let's go.
Hi Mark, this is such a silly one, but back in school, probably around third year, me and two of my friends are on the bounce, or mitching as some might call it, and we were caught by the Gardaí and put into the back of a squad car. So on the way up to the station, they got a call on the radio about a robbery that was happening in the local sports shop. So they proceeded to go, sirens on, full speed ahead to chase down the local tow rag, who was running off with a pair of Air Max under his arms. They got him, he was thrown in the back with us, and we're all hauled up to the station and put in a room or cell or something for around 45 minutes before just being let go. Never said anything to the school or the parents, never even asked us for names. Hilarious mid-90s policing.
You've got to love it. You've got to love just the relaxed nature of mid-90s policing. Were you ever arrested, as a matter of interest?
I've never been arrested, thankfully, no.
Because you're a policeman's daughter, were you brought up to be... I feel like it goes one of two ways. Mm. Were you really well behaved, and did your friends and stuff go, oh, we have to be careful, Nolan's dad's a copper, or was it like, oi, Nolan, oink, and that sort of stuff?
The latter.
Okay.
Very much the latter.
What sort of stuff? Just the funniest ones, please.
I'll give you a flavour of something without getting anyone in trouble. My sister was going out with a guy for years.
Okay.
And she was like a teenager, so...
Kian Hegarty. No, yeah. Naming a random guy.
They were going out for ages and they were that kind of awkward age. So like my parents hadn't met him or anything yet. So it was Halloween night and him and his pals and my sister were like hiding behind a wall in the park firing eggs at cars. And he fired an egg out and didn't realise he'd hit the squad.
No.
So my dad arrives in, my sister goes beetroot red.
Oh God.
We'll call him Sean.
Yeah.
So this is yourself, Sean, is it? How are you? Nice to meet you. Sure, we'll have a good chat. Come up there to the station with me and you can wash the car and we'll have a chat.
Oh, I love it. That's, you know what? That's expertly handled by your dad.
And he stood over him and had a chat with him while he washed the car and then said, come over there at the weekend. We'll have a chat. We'll have a proper chat with you then.
That's mid-90s logic. I love it. Back when we could have a very laissez-faire attitude to policing and everything. You could just get away with anything in the mid-90s.
Mm.
I remember when we were in primary school, we were in second class and a kid from a different school didn't even go to our school. He was allowed to make his communion with us because his mum bribed our computer teacher with those Tesco Computer for Schools vouchers.
Back off.
Do you remember those?
Brilliant. Yeah, I do.
Tesco Computer for Schools vouchers were, for those of you unfamiliar, they were like the crack cocaine for librarians across Ireland and for any form of primary school staff in their mid-60s. Genuinely, at one point there was a rumour that our school librarian slash computer teacher, Miss Rusborough, had like started like doing sex work. Do you know what I mean?
What?
Yeah, just to get the new HP keyboard with the free mouse. Like there was honestly, there were Irish librarians across the country meeting up in back alleys at 4 a.m. to kick the shite out of each other in exchange for these school vouchers. It was a complete racket. Like... I think like the kingpin was a choir teacher from the Midlands called the Serpent. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
She got the name the Serpent, not because she was snake-like, but because she used to enjoy those jelly sweets from the National Confectionery and she kept them in a drawer beside her desk. The Tesco Computer for Schools vouchers brought out an enormous amount of insanity in Irish people. They started like, would I be right in saying they started... that's where human trafficking, just like, where am I going with this? Probably where like human trafficking started in Ireland, you know, where they started swapping students in exchange for the vouchers.
That's it, actually.
You know,
we'll give you Liam Oak with the runny nose, but he's great at long division in exchange for the desktop.
That's exactly what happened.
Do you know what I mean? So that was probably why I would say the Tesco Computer for Schools was when Tesco realised, oh, fuck. We didn't actually plan for club card vouchers to result in us having to give away things. So that's when they learned their lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They learned. So now, obviously, the Tesco club card system is a complete and utter swizz.
Do you want it for €15 or 1 cent?
Would you like this bottle of Ribena? Cool. How much is it? €9.50. Bananas, and a weird way of saying it. But how much is it with? How much is it with a club card? Oh, you've got a club card. Then it'll be €5, only slightly over the retail. Use your retailing price. The club card system is an absolute swizz, and I don't care about saying it. It's a complete. Oh, would you like 4 J cloths? Not particularly. Well, they're only €23. If you've got a club card, though, we'll give them for a fiver. It's the same. Why am I falling for this? This is complete. The only worst thing, And this is when I get my conspiratorial hat on.
Go on.
When supermarkets at the end, you've done your shop and they go, and would you like to donate 99 cents to the whatever home? And you go, no, of course not. I've just spent all this money on shopping. Tesco in 2024, I Googled it. Tesco made 2.9 billion sterling in profit. 2.9 billion in fucking profit. You donate the 99 cent per shopper.
Thank you.
Don't put it. It's the only thing that I get very conspiratorial about. Big companies, and it's the same with climate stuff. Big companies putting the onus on the individual as if it's on them. Oh, it's on you to give the 99 cent per the home. No, match it then. Match it. If for every euro, match it. Or treble it. Yeah. Quadruple it. You should have a trolley at the end of every conveyor belt where we get to like bring something and you put it into the trolley and the fucking the supermarket absorbs the cost and give that away.
Can I say, while we're on this, this really annoys me. If I'm expected to take off the tags myself and fold up the clothes myself and bag them up myself and scan them myself in a shop, I deserve a little bit of a few quid back. I've done the work of someone else.
You've done. There's a 17-year-old Asian boy working for Shane.
Sheen.
Damn. See, I just don't believe in fast. Damn. Sustainability. Some people with the sustainability, grant. You're wearing a carpet with a hole in it. No, you can't have a go at sustainability. No, you still go on six flights a year. You just look like Spike, Hugh Grant's flatmate in Notting Hill. Do you know what I mean? Just because you're wearing a leather jacket that you wouldn't see in a 1930s documentary on Yugoslavia, it doesn't mean that you're winning any Greenpeace Person of the Year awards.
Fair, Mark.
It is sort of fair.
I'd argue with that.
Let's go, you green-keeping perverts. What do you got?
So I was at this, I'm going to call it a barbecue, but it was just a piss-up. But it was like Hawaiian themed, this girl... And it basically, all of a sudden there was guards in the back garden. So I don't know if they were in the area and just heard a bit of a racket in the back garden or someone nosy neighbor rang them. But anyway, they were there. The host was having a crack with them. Nothing really passed on that. Never really copped on. They were back later on that night. It was months later when I heard through the grapevine, the host started dating one of them. And then they got engaged, married, since have had kids, like happily ever after. He literally arrived in her gaff, basically closed in her party and ended up moving into the gaff a few years later.
In a way, that's like a very nice meet cute, but...
Meet cute.
That's what they call them, isn't it?
I know, I haven't heard that in a while. That's very Gen Z of you, Mark.
I'm very Gen Z.
Yeah. I know it is. It's a great story. Rom-com-like.
Yeah, but it's also, did he use the pulse system to get her address?
Maybe.
Had he seen her getting her milk and bread in the local grocer and think, do you know what? I like the look of those loaves. Jugs. Better. You know. I also...
There's something stripper-esque about showing up to the house as a policeman as well. And then getting with her.
What age are you where the police are getting called to your gaff still at a barbecue? Sorry, Emma and Nolan, you're going to have to indulge me here. Irish barbecues and just barbecues as a social gathering.
Mm.
I don't get it.
How do you not get it? Okay, I'm with you on so many things and this one I don't understand.
Just like, just grow. Oh, we're having a barbecue in the O'Dwyer's house on the weekend. Good stuff. One person brought six sausages and the rest of us bought fucking hummus. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no organisation. The lack of organisation at a barbecue just drives me up the wall. Like, oh yeah, Mark, just bring yourself. Just myself? Okay. Well, no, like bring yourself maybe a bit of booze, you know, crisps, whatever, a bit of meat. A bit of meat as well.
Be more specific.
To the barbecue. I didn't realise this was a BYO everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, would you like me to bring the Sahara grill as well? Because this sounds like it's becoming my barbecue. Why don't we just have it at ours then? Like, don't get me wrong. Okay? I'm all over the sort of democratisation of social gatherings and being economical and all the rest and people bringing different things. But if you're inviting me over to your house for a barbecue and I'm also required to bring a fucking loin of pork or arse of cow, okay? That's just not good enough. Surely a few Doritos will suffice and that's only the beginning of it. Do you know what I also hate? Okay? Because the barbecue is ultimately lawless. It is a socially lawless occasion and it's a slacker's playground. This is my biggest and most niche pet peeve of 2025. I hope somebody out there agrees with me, okay? Hosts that are overly relaxed. They answer the door barefoot. Do you know, put some shoes on. You're in your house. They answer the door barefoot and say things like, ah, just help yourself to a drink. Ah, you know where the fridge is. Yeah, I know where the fridge is, but I'm also still bound by the contract of social, you know, norms. So I'm not comfortable walking over. I'd like you to give me an option. Bring me to the fridge myself and say, Mark, would you like a Coke or a Fanta? Would you like a Coke Zero? What? Give me the options. Don't just say help myself. I'm not comfortable.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going. And the thing is, you might do it once, but you're not going to do it twice. Because then I'll be like, Jesus, am I going to the fridge too much? Do they think I'm drinking again? You know, what's going on here? Mm. I think hosts that are so relaxed is actually selfish because it puts everybody else on edge. I want the host, I want them to be on edge. I want them to be nerved and unnerved by my presence. I want them to be like, oh fuck, I can't relax until he's gone. That is my desired outcome all the time. Oh, sorry, Catherine, do you know where the loo is? Oh yeah, I think Declan's using the one downstairs. Just feel free to go on up and use Clown as one. Okay, so now I have to traipse through your six-year-old daughter's room in the hopes that she's not in there to use the toilet. There's no lock on the toilet. I'm nervous. This whole thing is just... And then, when's the barbecue happening? Oh yeah, whenever. The barbecue's there, so just shout when you're hungry. We'll get the meat going. I'm hungry now. I came here for dinner. The lack of cohesion in suburban barbecues, it just... Good luck. And also, and I'll finish on this, I swear, but themed parties. Oh, it's a Great Gatsby themed party. Cool, I won't be going. Great Gatsby is the siren sound of basic. If you if you have a Great Gatsby themed party, you may as well be buried in a pair of Veja runners and an Anina Bing tank top. Do you know what I mean? With a framed photo of the London fucking red bus from IKEA above your bedspread.
Anything that makes me dress up stupid drives me nuts.
Just like...
Upsets me greatly.
Ah, like, would it not just be a bit of crack for us all to look like idiots? No, you sound like an idiot. Would it not just be fun to go to a party and not look like idiots? Because also... By forcing you to go to the party in fancy dress, you can't leave.
I
can't just walk around Temple Oak dressed as the fucking hawk to a girl at 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair. Like, that's a good way to keep people at your party, though.
I think part of my hatred of fancy dress parties goes back to the night that I lost my virginity, right?
Okay, here we go.
So we got married on the 30th. Oh, sex. But, you know, but like the night I lost my virginity, 16 years of age, true story, 100% true story, and like anybody can verify it. Well, like there was only one of them, thank God. But like...
Any of the gang I lost.
Any of the gang. Ambitious start. Me and seven cronies. But it was on Halloween night. I was 16, so I think it was 2006.
Okay.
The good old days. Back when everyone was still being clawed and mauled by the paws of the Celtic tiger. Anyway, I went to a Halloween party and I hate fancy dress. I hated it back then. I had a genius idea when I was like, why don't I go? Because I used to wear like skinny jeans, Converse, listen to Crystal Castles. I sort of fancy myself as like an extra in Skins. Do you know what I mean? Real like I'm so fucked up, but like sexy at the same time. Like, do you know what I mean? Like there's like... attractiveness to my fucked upness, do you know what I mean? I thought I was Effie from Skins. That worked out well. And anyway, I went to this party, but I got a t-shirt made, just a white t-shirt that said, I am a ghost. So I just was walking. I thought this was genius. And I was like, oh, people are going to fucking love this. So I open up the door and someone's dressed like Alice in Wonderland and a sexy builder. And then I'm just like, lads, look. Just a t-shirt that says I'm a ghost. And they're like, cool, that's pretentious.
You lost your virginity as a ghost?
And I was like, right, fuck this. So anyway, I left, got a text, bish bash le bosh, down a laneway beside UCD. Good stuff. It was leaning up against the wall. I swear to God, at one point, I didn't know what to do with my arms. So it was just like standing stiff as a board to the extent that you could think that I was in a trance. Stiff as a board, just like mildly, like an arthritic movement in the hips, and then not knowing how to like do anything with the sides with my hands and just letting them flop by the side and sort of swing with the movement. At one point she was like, why are you flossing? Do you know what I mean? So there you go.
Hey, how's it going, man? Yeah, so basically this is during COVID. We were out smoking a J in one of the parks and driving through the park. This was late at night. There was a car. We knew that's probably guards, so we kind of made our exit. And we were walking towards the exit and all of a sudden these three guards surround us. They come out of the bushes with torches. And for whatever reason, one of my mates at that time, he shared a room with his brother. So he decided that he would just bring out every drug he had with him every time he went out. So he had a fanny pack full of drugs. So they stopped us and were talking to us. And in the middle of this, he somehow unclipped the fanny pack before he was searched and threw it down beside our bikes. So they searched us and didn't find anything. And then your man turns around and he's like, hey, what's this? And he tries to pin it on me and he opens the bag and he shows us what's in it. And for about 20 minutes, I went back and forth being like, yeah, this is yours. Tried to pin it on me because it fell beside my bike. It's like, no, that's not mine. And then they was like, oh, we're going to get a car. You're going to get taken away. You want to tell us now, blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of called their bluff. And in the meantime, there's a couple of different groups of lads that flew past on bikes as well. So we were like, that could have been anyone's. So I went back and forth. You're getting a court order. So we left. And yeah, that was during COVID. And we haven't heard anything since. So touch wood.
Jesus, they've bloody gotten away with it. Mm. That's amazing. Brian Moriarty from Chestnut Grove in Mount Marion, you've gotten away with it. That's absolutely incredible. Walking around with a fanny pack full of narcotics, would you just stop it? Like, that's weed, smoking a J. I've said it before. Not for me. Never of all my flaws, and by God, there are many, Emma, as you're only beginning to realise, smoking weed was never one of them.
You just, yeah, didn't like it.
I want things to bring me out of my mind.
That was it. We discussed this, didn't we? Yeah.
We did. Oh, sorry. I was basically sincere. No, it's fine.
No. But what I mean by this is it is so interesting as a concept because it does make you very...
introspective.
Yeah. And and the thing about it is it's such a case-by-case example as well.
Yeah.
You're at the risk if you're just not feeling nice then and then you're stuck like that.
Well, if you want me to don my conspiratorial hat on again...
Yes, please.
I would potentially correlate the first time I ever smoked weed to when I started getting panic attacks.
There you go.
That's been a fun little journey ever since. But the first time I actually got stoned, it was a waterfall. So a waterfall is something where you basically fill like a 2-litre bottle of pop, Minitals or soda.
Bit of TK lemonade.
TK red lemonade. Amen. Nice. Get me a zero version, please. Tanora is the nicest drink of all time. Second only to TK red lemonade. Zero, please. Give me a zero version. Anyway, you hit this waterfall and you basically inhale this thing for like 30 seconds. And I was like, okay, did it. Didn't work. Go again then. Didn't work. Go again. And I'm like, this isn't working. I walked downstairs. I was in my own house in a spare bedroom. Mum was away. Halfway down the stairs. It hits me. And I was absolutely, like, it was the worst thing in the world. I sat down, I ended up watching Mariah Carey's Glitter, which is a movie she did, a feature film. Didn't win the Oscar in the end. I think it was picked at the post by Streets of Philadelphia. But anyway, sat down in my dressing gown to watch Glitter by Mariah Carey in a complete and utter trance. Didn't know what to do. Halfway through Glitter, was like, maybe I should touch myself basically to it.
Wow.
Zoned out halfway through. My mum came home from dinner.
No.
Me lying on the couch with the little fella sticking out of the dressing gown.
No.
Like a moray eel with social anxiety just sort of popping out the middle. It was, as you might say, Eminem and the Roger Moore levels. So...
no thank you to that shit.
There you go. Let's go.
Hey guys, absolute massive fan here of the podcast. Yeah, so Jesus, we're about 18, 19... usual absolute stupidity about 2:30 in the morning after the nightclub was over, racing around little car park in the trolleys. Cops came along anyway, and the usual, put them back or we're going to arrest you, la la la. No one listened. Anyways, they came back 20 minutes later and the vanguard came towards us and pulled the trolley away from us and gave us an earful. So sure, we were young ones, knew it all, roaring at her to give us back our euro, calling her a thief, she should be behind bars, all this. And lo and behold, she arrested me and my friend for drunk and disorderly, and we were put in a cell till not a good time.
Absolutely love it.
That's my favourite story so far. I love that so much. Like, you've stolen my euro.
Asking for the euro back is just complete and utter cheek.
Yeah, I love it.
That is your absolute cheek. I mean, what is it with drunk people reaching for traffic cones? Faster than a toxic rat can reach for an inspirational quote on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
It's always the most toxic people that post the quotes.
Do you reckon?
Once you see the quotes going up, gone. When the rain starts pouring and it's like really bad MS Paint graphic and it's like, when the rain starts pouring and it's lashing on your shoulders, just know there's a breaking in the horizon. Mm-hmm. Sorry? But I don't understand any of this, Louise. Do you know? It's just, once you see the inspirational quotes, they're the siren sound of something. There's something underneath the hood there that needs looking at. Now, the grabbing the trolley, good luck. Like, I'll always...
Sounds like such crack to have a gang of friends being like, drop us off here, lad, on the way back from a night out to Lidl or Aldi car park. Everyone has a euro out and you take spins and trolleys around. Like,
that's how people phenomenal. Break. That's how people break hearts and other limbs. I remember one time when we were kids, we were around maybe 15. Now, I'm not proud of this, by the way.
Okay.
So let me just get that straight. I'm not proud of this, but it happened. For the sake of transparency, I may as well tell the truth. Basically, it was a balmy, sunny summer evening. Mm. You know what I mean? One of those rare, halcyon Irish days where the sky stretches blue for eternity.
Oh, I can smell the air.
And the whole, you know, the whole world, the whole country's having a barbecue.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And the sausage, burger and meat section of Tesco is completely sold out, you know? So all the last minute dads are there panicking, wondering how they're going to justify bringing home a discounted vindaloo or a beef rogue and Josh.
Understandable.
In a microwavable packet to their wife on the sunniest day of the year. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, it was a nice day. Mm. Okay. Me and the boys wanted, we must have been around 15, wanted to get involved in the madness. So we decided to go drinking. Now, in Ireland, okay, if you wanted to go drinking underage, if you didn't have an older brother or cousin or uncle or whatever to buy the alcohol for you, you had to engage in this activity called fishing. For those unfamiliar, fishing was whenever you stood near an off-license or a garage that sold booze and you'd wait for someone to walk by and you'd ask them. But it was a fine line because you'd want to ask somebody, you'd want to ask somebody who was comfortable buying 14-year-old booze, 14-year-old boys' booze, but that's where they drew the line.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I want you to be morally reckless enough to buy kids vodka, but there, that's when you finish. You don't want anything more than that.
Man, I used to do that before school for cigarettes.
Oh, fuck me. Oh, I fished for cigarettes until pretty much last year.
I never heard the term fishing before, but yeah, I was that soldier.
So we used to call it fishing. And I remember one time it was on me, right? Down on outside a Circle K or something. Anyway, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, a car drives into the car park. And I'm like, bang, I recognise that car. It's a 98 Nissan Micra with a Wicklow reg. Mm. I remember that car. I was like, that car belongs to Mary O'Dwyer, a lovely old woman in our estate who had recently lost her husband, Dennis. I'm, as I said, I'm not proud of it, okay? Anyway, Mary gets out of the car and she sort of notices me by the bushes and gives me like a weak-willed, like, oh, hello.
I'm so nervous about what's coming here.
Obviously, I was raised well enough to know I need to say something to her, so I walk over and I just go, hey, Mary, obviously, it's awkward. I was like 14 or 15. I was like, listen, Mary, I'm really, really sorry to hear about the death of Dennis. You know, I hope you're doing okay. And she goes, oh, Mark. And she bursts into my arms and breaks down crying. I'm like, oh, for the love of, this is just like, so the two of us are just standing there in this car park of a garage, me totally out of my depth, 14 years of age, comforting this woman on the death of her husband. Anyway, eventually she sort of pulls herself away, composes herself, and is about to walk into the shop for a few bits. And she's going, oh, thank you, Mark. Appreciate the kind words, and goes to turn off. And I just go, oh, Mary, you wouldn't just, she's like, sorry? It's like, oh, you wouldn't just go in and get us four Naggins, two crates of Carlsberg and a bottle of Blue Wicked, please, would you? Look, I'm not proud of it, but I had it by the fucking balls. That's the truth of it. Do you know what I mean?
Mark me.
She had given me the sob story. It was only, so anyway, give her all the cash. She's like, oh, she was just so sort of whatever. She was just so confused. She goes in to get the booze. I go back and tell the lads, I'm like, we've got more booze in the way. Ew, big celebration, whatever. We then made the cardinal sin of drinking the Naggins that we had. For those of you that know, okay, or used to drink Naggins like this, please God, not as a functioning member of society as an adult, but for those of you that used to pre-drink as kids, you down your Naggin knowing that there was a window, a sweet spot of 10 to 15 minutes where you'd be perfectly sober, perfectly normal before the Naggin would hit you.
Right.
So anyway, all good. I down my Naggin, waiting for Mary, no sign. No sign. I'm staring at her from the hole in the wall across the road. I'm like, no sign. Eventually, around 10 minutes later, come out. Mary comes limping with like the crate of beer and the booze, whatever. I run across. I'm like, oh, cheers, Mary. Yeah, no, don't worry about the change. And I was like, yeah, thanks a million. I just go, all the best. And she just goes, oh, I just want to say, Mark, and gives me another fucking hug and breaks down again. I'm like, oh, God. So I'm giving her a hug and I'm like, there, Mary. There. And then the Naggin hits me. Literally mid-hug.
Is this a 2 week?
The Naggin hits me. And my...
Do I get to find out what happened?
My knees go sort of jelly.
No.
And she starts going like limp in my arms. And she sort of just looks up at me confusingly. And I'm like, okay, I need to get out of this situation. I'm fucking locked. This is a disaster. This is not going good. She's going to say something to my mum. Say something to my mum. I need to fucking, oh God, oh God, oh God. So I just take one look at her face and I just go, we're going to get the bastards who did this to a Mary. She was like, what? I was like, I won't slit. She was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Dennis died of a pulmonary embolism. Do you know what I mean? That was the end of Mary. Guys, I hope you're enjoying listening to the Weekly Roast. This is a very good episode, in my opinion. I must say I really enjoyed it. If you are enjoying the show, do me a favour, please, and share it with somebody that you know who you think may enjoy it. And if you want to contribute to the show, you know what to do. Send me a message on Instagram at Megan Mark. Your support means the world to us, so thank you so much. Now, let us take a stroll into Garda Corner, where we cross the other line of the law and we hear from Ireland's keepers of the peace with some of their pieces of information. Oh, that fucking indigestion. Nevertheless, let's go.
Hi, Mark. So a few years ago, I took a call into the station from a person who wanted to phone in to report a case of animal cruelty. Obviously, take it very seriously. So I said, took the call, absolutely. Can you just be specific of what you've seen? He said, it's his neighbour's horse. I said, where's the horse now? He said, the horse is inside the house, his neighbour's house. I said, okay. And I said, you can see the horse right now. Like, what specifically is your concern? What's the horse doing? He said, the horse is watching TV. Silence from my end. He's like, I'm looking in his window right now and the horse is watching TV. Can I remain anonymous? I was like, yeah, absolutely remain anonymous. Although, to be fair, I would say that your face pressed against the window is probably giving up your anonymity. I mean, absolutely, the horse shouldn't have been indoors, but it was a cold night. And on balance, the person probably meant well and didn't mean to be cruel. I still, to this day, I can't get the image on my head of the horse inside and in my mind, clearly watching Crime Call. Thank you so much, Mark. Absolutely enjoy the podcast. Highlight of my week.
Ah, very good. Okay. Fuck your Honda Civic. I have a horse inside. You know, a very bananas one.
Yeah, I loved horses growing up. I was a massive horse fan. I would have loved if my horse could come inside.
Did you have a horse?
Yeah, Maisie.
You know what they say about horse girls, don't you?
What?
Privileged.
Yeah,
entitled.
Right. Yeah,
brats. One thing that we need to ask immediately is, what was the horse doing? It doesn't matter what the horse was. That is the most ridiculous question ever. Sarge, yeah? A woman here on about a horse in the house. Well, what's the horse doing? It doesn't matter what the horse is doing. Like, he's watching episodes of The Chase and eating cereal straight from the box. Not our jurisdiction. Do you know what I mean? What was she expecting the person to say? The horse is sitting at the dinner table in a nightdress, weeping with his curlers in and scraping out the uneaten dinner of his spouse because they've shown up late again after another apparent work drinks. Do you know what I mean? Oh, we'll be right on. I'll get Pesa around the fucking on the phone, you know? What is the horse doing? It doesn't matter what the horse is doing. It's not really an arrestable offence, though, having a horse inside. It's absolutely bananas. It's not against the law, is it?
It's actually a dreamlike scenario, I feel.
I would hate to have a horse inside.
Why?
It's like whenever you want to have your dog in bed with you. The idea of it on paper is lovely. Oh yeah, wouldn't it be really nice to wake up to Bert in the middle of the night and give him a little snuggle? And then he comes up to bed and...
Yeah.
And then Bert's loud as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
I brought the puppy up on Saturday morning for a cuddle and like... It was there for all of a minute and I was like, oh, you actually do molt. Didn't realise.
You don't realise how much noise dogs make until you try and sleep with one. Genuinely.
Really?
I've said nothing there. That is you. Nevertheless, let's go.
Oh yeah, I'm a guard. I'm about 9 or 10 years in the job and I'll never forget. I was about 6 months into the job out of Templemore and... I had arrested a prisoner, an absolute scrote, and placed him in the rear of the car and run the way back to the station with him. Two of my colleagues, two lads, were in the front. And on the way back, anyway, there was just this god-awful smell came out of nowhere. The only way I'd describe it is a smell of death. It was just worse than anything ever.
Oh, God.
And my colleague in the front says, are you out of shitting yourself?
No.
And the scrote burst his bollocks laughing and was like, the coke will do that to you, lads.
Oh.
And laughed his hole off. Meanwhile, I was like retching and had to have my head out the window the whole way back to the station. But yeah, shit himself, found it hilarious. And he just says, yeah, the coke will do that to you, lads. So I'll absolutely never, ever forget it.
Oh, baptism of fire. More like a craptism of dire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, brilliant. Well done, Mark. What time did you get to bed last night thinking that? Ah, 6 a.m. This is not what you sign up for in Templemore, like.
No, I don't think so. That seems to be a little bit outside the pay grade.
The coke will do that to you, lads.
Will it? Emma?
Is that a thing? Shut up, Mark. That is absolutely wild to actually sit there and know that it's happening and then stand over it.
When you're defecating and laughing about it, that is a sort of level of social insanity that's a threshold. That's sort of, you know, whenever like you have if you've ever experienced a personal crisis in your life and you're talking to a family member or a friend or a trusted professional and they say to you, and when did it get like this? Or how, when did you notice that this was sort of, you know, when were you having these thoughts more often? And, you know, or did you notice this? At what point did you think that you'd gone to the dark side? Well, I remember laughing in the back seat of a Garda car because I'd shat myself and I sort of just found it hilarious. And my response to the female guard leaning her head out the window, Ace Ventura style, all the way back to the station was to say,
the cock will do that to you, lads.
Like, that's probably when I crossed the line. You snorted the line and then, you know, you did a poo in your pants. So, good luck.
Hi Mark, so I worked as a Garda. A couple of years ago there I was working at Longitude Festival and stand outside and a lot of bull boys were kind of jeering at us and calling us pigs and whatnot. And the one fellow in particular, he came over and he was giving all that. And he says, oh, do you want to swap hats? I was like, no, go on. And he kept it up, came over maybe about half an hour later. He goes, go on, just for a photo. We swap hats. So he whipped off his baseball hat. And a bag of about 200 pills came from it. So, not the cleverest of individuals.
Oh,
probably a bitter pill to swallow.
Very good. Very
wise.
Love the pun at the end there. That's giving me some ecstasy. Amazing. That's the game.
That's what you call karma with a capital K.
Indeed it is. Have I told you? Okay, I've told this story in the podcast before, but I have to tell it again because it is the greatest thing that I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
It is the greatest story. Okay, let me just cut to the chase.
Yeah.
To those who've listened in it, you get to bask. You listen to it already. You get to bask in this again. For the new listeners, strap yourselves in. This is spectacular. To date, this is, I think, the greatest story ever told on the podcast.
Okay.
Friends of my sisters, they're having a dinner party. Parents, okay? Three other couples.
Okay.
So they're having all of their best mates over for a dinner party. This is back in like the early to mid 2010s in Dublin. They have the dinner party. All goes well, closest friends, whatever. The next morning, the woman, notices that in the dining room where they were eating, they had this like gorgeous display cutlery that they had inherited as an heirloom. It was like timeless, priceless, whatever, that they'd inherited generationally, blah, blah, blah. It was missing.
Oh dear.
The cutlery was missing from the sort of velvet display case. She's like, this is mental. Says it to the husband. Verifies that, of course, it was there the night before because they cleaned up and, you know, they made the place look nice in order for the guests. So they knew that somebody must have taken it. So they sent a message to them. Were like, guys, this is really awkward, but obviously somebody has an accident or whatever must have taken the nice cutlery from the thing. You know, it's no problem at all, but just like,
give it back.
Can we have it back? Everyone was like, don't know what you're talking about. So she's like, well, no, like, what do we do? This is mental. Like, one of our closest friends has fucking robbed from us. And
what did you do there?
Like, so this is like just eating them up alive, which understandably it would. They're like, how on earth? They start like questioning their own sanity then, be like,
I know, yeah.
Did we move it? Blah, blah. She's like, no, I 100% like arranged it yesterday before the dinner party. I cleaned up everything, blah, blah, blah. They send another text like a few weeks later. We're really appealing to you. This is, as you know, like this was mum's who got it from her mum, blah, blah, blah. Everybody just stonewalling them. No idea what you're talking about. And like a bit weird, like a couple of the couples are like, you know, what the fuck are you talking about? Why in God's name do you think we'd ever steal something like, do you know what I mean?
I know, then that side comes into it and then you're feeling guilty.
So this whole thing goes bad, right?
Yeah.
Then eventually she has an idea and she just goes, guys, look, I'm not going to send you any more messages about this. I'm not going to make any phone calls. Our relationships are clearly going to suffer from this because it's just so bad. However, I've spoken to the Intercontinental, what was the Four Seasons in Dublin, okay? I've spoken to them, and basically, if for the next month, if whoever has them just please drops it into them. We never need to speak about it. We don't need to know who it is. Just drop it into the hotel and we'll never speak about it again. I don't care about anything else other than getting my heirlooms back that were in the family. Okay? Mm. Grant. So she sends out that message, whatever. A week later, she gets a call from the hotel to say that the stuff had been dropped in. Okay? Amazing. You ready for it? She told each couple a different hotel.
Whoa!
Let's fucking go.
No way. That's bloody Colleen Rooney.
That is the greatest thing.
Wow.
I still get shivers. Every time I hear it, I get a little
wow.
rush of frisson down the back of my neck.
That is pure like the Colleen. Like
that
the
is
Rebecca.
Genius.
Yeah, yeah.
You are an absolute. Take that. We got it. We got you. You're done.
Wag of the Christie who. There's
Let's
nothing compared to that.
Go.
Hi, Mark. We arrested a lady for an offence while she was detained. And she was told that obviously we'd have to interview her in relation to the crime committed. So we explained to her obviously that the interview was going to be recorded on camera. And this was, we assumed that she understood. So anyway, the interview was about 60 minutes long. And I'd say for three quarters of the interview, she basically was looking at me straight in the eye and mimicking the motion of a blowjob. In between that and kind of running the fingers through her breasts and cupping her breasts and looking at me. So the interview went on. She didn't say a whole pile as she was busy herself. So at the end of the interview anyway, it was obviously explained to her again that the interview had been recorded and that if she wanted to get access, she'd have to apply through a solicitor to get one of the tapes. So anyway, the penny dropped to her then. She said she didn't realise that it was been recorded and she started crying. She then stated that the porno that she had seen and this had aroused her and she was very frustrated and hadn't had sex in a long time. That was quite the fun day, all right.
Wow.
I mean,
the guards aren't paid enough.
It definitely would have made for an interesting episode of Line of Duty.
Yeah.
You listen to me, son. Is that it?
Where is that it, yeah.
You listen to me, son. There's only one thing that I'm interested in, and that's Kenyan blowjobs. My name is Ted Hastings. Is that it? My name is Ted Hastings. And I want Africa. Oh, it's deeper. You listen to me, son. No. You listen to me. Now you listen to me, son. There's only one thing that I'm interested in, and that's Kenyan blowjobs. My name is Ted Hastings, and I want African fellatio, and I want it now. I don't care if you're from Nairobi or deep in the depths of Lake Nakuru. My only area of concern is your lips around my todger. Yes, ma'am. I must come like that. That is the worst Hastings. Can you do any impressions?
No, I'm really bad at impressions, which is so annoying for my job.
I can do a Chris Walken.
Go on.
Two mice. Right there. Two mice fell into a bucket of cream. The first mouse, Frankie, fell, gave up and drowned. But the second mouse, he struggled so hard that he eventually churned that cream into butter and he walked out. Hey man, wow, it must have slipped right off your neck.
Pretty damn good.
That's not bad. Chris Walken, by the way, the greatest of all time. Next only to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Seymour Hoffman number one. Let's always rest in peace. The greatest actor of our generation. And if you want to cry today, read his wife's eulogy that she wrote in GQ or Esquire magazine. Not the most traditional place for a eulogy, but that she wrote after his death. It's devastatingly beautiful. Number two, Paul Giamatti potentially. No, walk into Giamatti three. So, on y va. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the roast of Trouble with the Law. If you enjoy the show, you know what to do. Subscribe, send it to a friend, and of course, let me know what you thought of today's show. Send me a message on Instagram. I am cripplingly insecure with an enormous egotistical complex, so I require consistent reassurance in order to do this job. So let me know what you think. Nevertheless, part three. Strap on as we tell some stories for about strap-on? I don't know. Let's go.
When I was a teenager, and I'm really not proud of this, I must have been about 15 or so, I pretended to masturbate to a mannequin inside a shop. And little did I know that there was a shopkeeper behind the mannequin who thought I was doing it to them. And so I was in the chat with my friends afterwards. Everyone was laughing. Thought I was the big shot. And Barts came in and said, "Who's acting the bollocks?" And all my friends pointed at me. And I just like denied everything. I said, "No, I didn't do anything." They took me to the guard station. They said the shopkeeper was crying. And I felt like, genuinely did feel so bad because that would have been a hideous thing to do. Thankfully, both of my parents were away. They kept trying to ring both my parents. And it was at a stage where I was getting a new bike. My mother was in America and it was a bike I'd saved up loads of money for my 16th birthday. And she was bringing it back. And as she was on the way home, the guards were trying to ring her to say your son was masturbating to a mannequin or to a person, which I wasn't. Just to be crystal clear, it was a mannequin. Stupid, not funny, trying to be funny. Thankfully, then the guards let me go. Didn't do time for my crime, but it shook me up.
Good stuff. That comes in from Edward O'Sullivan in Mullingar. This all sounds like the excuse somebody would use who was caught performing a lewd act in themselves in public. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. No, well, it's a misunderstanding. It's a terrible misunderstanding. No, that wasn't that. Who's that? Her morning shift at 9:54 every day. No, she wears Curious by Britney Spears and enjoys a bit of jam on her scones at tea break. No, it was me. I was only making a joke at the mannequin. I was wanking actually at the mannequins there, the one with the tits in the. That was all just a gross misunderstanding. Do you know what I mean? Like, come on. 16, wanking at mannequins? No. I feel like under the age of 8, I vividly remember being shopping with my mother and looking up under the top of a mannequin.
Oh, God, I did too.
Because you're wondering, are there breasts? Are there nipples? Are, you know,
are
how does this
balls?
Work?
Is there a penis? I want to know what's going on.
Well, exactly. There aren't penises on mannequins, are they?
There's a bulge.
What?
Yeah.
Is there actually?
Have a bulge, yeah.
Wow. There you go.
Well, I mean, maybe they're all different, but I've certainly seen a few bulges.
Interesting. I've never understood the sort of taking your genitals out in public. It's a real GAA lads banter thing. I've just, GAA lads and nudity, they're all about it.
I understand what you mean.
Us little quiet, nervous emo boys, we prefer to keep our penises away, constrained, restrained.
Warm.
Yeah, warm like phalluses.
Warm.
Little, yeah. The first time I lifted up the skirt of a mannequin, I was expecting like bush and like the actual workings of a vagina. Do you know what I mean? And it was just, no.
A bit underwhelming.
Very, but there's no, again, this, I've talked about this. There's no education when it comes to guys. There should be better. We didn't have sex education school. Well, you know nothing about the female anatomy. It was like, the first time I ever had a conversation with my mum was whenever I was going out to Wesley at age 15 and she was like, "Why have you only trimmed the first two nails on your fingers?" Oh, I'm sorry. That is just dérangement. But anyway, like the expectation was to see an actual vagina under the mannequin and it wasn't there at all. It was the most disappointing, like reality, expectation versus reality, reality moment ever since they opened up the National Aquatic Centre. Do you remember that? I remember hearing about the National Aquatic Centre as a kid and be like, unbelievable. This is going to be like Dublin's answer to Disneyland. This is going to be like a dream-like oasis where you could bathe like a sophisticated Parisienne on the banks of the Seine. Do you know what I mean?
I accidentally did the splits there when I was at a really awkward age of like 7 or 8.
Oh,
I was coming out of the dressing room and they went forward and back. Oh, oh. I actually went out the way. I think I ripped so much. I cried so hard. It was awful.
The first time I ever went to the Dublin fucking aquatic centre, I was started on by a 43-year-old dad because he thought I was laughing at his son's foot for having a verruca and his daughter had just done the splits. Do you know what I mean? Like, the place was absolutely lethal. It was like an episode of Kin, but underwater. It was Love Hate meets Atlantis. You know, usually at wave pools, they have signs up around the walls for the waves. In the aquatic centre, it was just like signs of warnings about the other people there. Yeah. It was absolutely, it wasn't the Whiffen brothers. It wasn't the whiffing kids who were going to the National Aquatic Centre. You wouldn't see these lads doing backstroke in the Olympics. It was the same people who were up. No, no. But anyway, it was just a dodgy, it was a dodgy old place. No, okay, let's go.
Hi, Mark. So my run-in with the law was when I was around 18 years of age, still living at home. My parents went away for a week's holidays, which meant that myself and my boyfriend could get up to all sorts, as we had the place to ourselves. So we had our little bag of naughty things, such as like handcuffs, sexy lingerie, little sex toys, etc.
Wow.
And we just basically had fun. So just before my parents were due to come back, we were doing the usual mad clean, tidying up everything, making sure everything was in its place and tidy. And we went out for something to eat and on a drive, when suddenly I realised, going, oh my God, we left the bag of sex toys, etc., in the sitting room.
No.
So we raced back thinking, would we get back in time? But no, my parents were home and had found it. So my dad was absolutely disgusted and furious and wanted to know what the hell was going on. So I panicked, and all I could think of saying was, I found it in the garden. Somebody dumped it in the garden. So with that, he said, right, we have to bring this to the Garda barracks. So I was driven over to the Garda barracks, frog marched in with bag in tow to the guards. I was brought into a little investigation room. I had a statement taken about finding this bag of sex toys and sexy lingerie, etc. Then I was just taken home. It was never spoken about again in my house, but I would say the guards spent the week laughing. So either my dad was completely naive, or he was an evil genius who knew exactly how to embarrass the living daylights out of his 18-year-old daughter, and it worked. Enjoyed all the podcasts to date. Love the show. Best of luck. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Emil. I love that. And I will proffer that your dad is actually neither of the above. I think he's just a good member of society.
Yeah.
Do you know, you see something that doesn't add up, report it. Say it, see it, sort it. That's where I live.
Oh my God, isn't that when you're in the UK? Yeah.
I lived in London, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to live in London, so just.
But all the trains across the way, it always makes me laugh when I was going over there first, because my boyfriend's from outside Leeds and I wouldn't be used to the train systems. Yeah, yeah. He's from Yorkshire.
Yorkshire, they're the best people on earth.
Yeah.
People from Yorkshire are genuinely the best people on earth.
Yeah, he's a Yorkshireman. So I've done a few train journeys since and I find it so funny. Like, we have the Lewis doing his thing and they have see it, report it, sort it.
See it, sort it, report it.
That's it. Yeah.
Say it, see it, sort it. Nevertheless, aside from avoiding terror attacks, at the age of 18, they're using sex toys and dirty. When I was 18, if I took my t-shirt off during intercourse, that was considered sexually adventurous.
Mm.
Penetration was enough of a walk in the wild side for me. I remember in sixth year hearing about some lad doing reverse cowgirl with his girlfriend and thinking, well, I'm fucked. I never went to horse riding lessons. Hopefully a sex move will come up that involves skiing. Do you know what I mean? The most middle class worry of all time. We need more skiing sex moves. I don't know. Handcuffs at 18. A bag full of sex toys at 18. That's bananas. There's probably bananas to be used as well. Yeah. I mean, I remember actually there used to be these things you could get in pub toilets where it was like a vibrating ring that you put in your willy. Invariably, we just got them like and talked about them with the lads and then would never. I don't know. I was completely and still am completely out of my depth when it comes to. But someone just opened the door of the podcast here and I'm just about to say vibrating rings on my willy. I'm sorry.
Well,
we're still recording.
Well, I think potentially Mario Rosenstock was walking in the door.
Oh, fuck. How are you, Mario? Yeah. Yeah, I'm grand. Still working on the Trump to impress. No, you can't. Okay. Fuck, I'm getting giddy. Is it true that if you're a Garda, you get 35% off super dry every Christmas?
No.
It is. Nolan, the Nolan family in the super dry ski suits. Okay, let's go.
Hey, Mark, it's Mrs. Jollies. Was a little bit unsure with your box this week as to, you know, going with a brush with the law, whether I should go down the route with the fact that every couple of mornings I used to meet with a Garda Shia Corner at the top of the Sally Gaff on my way to work for a little bit of, you know, getting me jollies. Yeah. didn't know whether to go down that route or down the route of when I had my brush with the law and ended up in court because I was really stupid and parked in the safest spot. No judgment, please, people. No judgment, okay? I was running into the supermarket with the £2.50 in hand to buy the Bella magazine to go and get my coupon for the Slimming World for the half price. And I said, right, Gran, I'll just pull in here. And noticed the guards going out. Didn't see it on my car when I came out. I thought, oh, thank God, I've got away with this. Until the fine came. So Mrs. Jolly's being Mrs. Jolly's just chucked it in the drawer and forgot all about it until the guard came knocking at the door and handed me a summons because I'd failed to pay the fine and ended up having to go to court. To be fair, it was actually a really nice day up in court. I was extremely overdressed. Like, if you can just imagine what was in the Carlow courthouse that day. Extremely overdressed in my suit. But yeah, it was a really nice kind of one of our first dates myself and my now husband had while up in court. But yeah, wasn't sure which way to go, so I just thought I'd give you my two stories. There you go.
I want to hear more about the first one.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Jollies. As we all now know, Ireland's horniest person, to be honest. Hornier, Mrs. Jollies, I think, is so horny that she's probably hornier than every average Irish guy who gets a job in Spain teaching English. Isn't that true?
Fair.
Guys who, I think we need to draw the line here. Guys who get jobs teaching English in foreign countries, there's a touch of the perverts to most of them. There's an element of, I'm in a position of power here. I'll get away with making gags that I wouldn't possibly get away with making at home. There's a touch of the creeps. There's a touch about the power and the access and the, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? There's a, jobs. Okay, here's one for you. Aside from cliches, what are the horniest jobs? I would say tour guides, English teachers. I'd also say like fucking water sports instructors from the west of Ireland. Complete and utter horn dog.
Plumbers, any plumber. Any plumber is a horn dog, I think.
Do you need a hand getting into your wetsuit there? No, I'm Grant. You know, sea explorer. You fucked more Americans than the latest tariffs. Bit of a political gag there, do you know? You fornicated in more canoes than Pocahontas. So, ski instructors also perverts. Plumbers, are they perverts?
I wouldn't say perverts, I thought you said horny.
Well, six in one, really, isn't it? Nevertheless. Thank you so much for listening to the Weekly Roast, guys. We really appreciate it. Very sorry for the very abrupt ending. We've just been running out of time today because of the bank holiday. Things are on a tighter leash in Go Loud HQ, so we've only had less time to record. I hope you'll appreciate it and understand it, and we'll be back to normal programming next week. Thank you so much for your messages. Please shoot me a DM if you enjoy the show. Lots of love. Mind yourselves. Take care. Goodbye.